We are going to study tonight our larger catechism, beginning and God helping us finishing the number 31 tonight. And this is very much like number 20 in the shorter catechism. Number 20 in the shorter catechism, if you know that one, you can say that one with me. Did God leave all mankind to perish in the estate of sin and misery? God, having out of his mere good pleasure from all eternity elected some to everlasting life, did enter into a covenant of grace to deliver them out of the estate of sin and misery and to bring them into an estate of salvation by a Redeemer. It is this covenant of grace that we are studying. Praise God. It's so good to move on from the awful misery and punishment and guilt of sin to study more of the wonderful covenant of grace. So number 31 in the larger catechism, if you have that, is very short. Number 31, with whom was the covenant of grace made? The covenant of grace was made with Christ as the second Adam, and in him with all the elect as his seed. That's good. All right. Well, the covenant of grace made with Christ and made with all of his elect in him. Not apart from him, but in him. He is God's first elect, and we are elect in him, Christ Jesus. And we're going to read the scriptures tonight from Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Galatians 3 and verse 16. Consider this covenant with Christ. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. Now notice very carefully the words there. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. I'm just going to pause here for a moment. You see the argument that God, the Holy Spirit, uses concerning his word, that for this very matter of the wonderful salvation that we have in Christ, the argument here regarding the very seed hinges on one letter. Not seeds, plural, but seed, singular. And who does the scripture say this seed is? Christ. This is no small matter. So the Holy Spirit is telling us, for those people who think the words of the Holy Scripture are unimportant, God says that even one letter is important. And Jesus took it much farther than that. Jesus said even one little part of a letter is important. Not one jot, which is the smallest Hebrew letter, okay, or one tittle. A tittle is just a little flare as you do your penmanship, making your letters just a little flare. The Lord Jesus said, not one of those little flares is going to pass away. Not one of those tittles is going to pass away until all be fulfilled. Wow. Now that's not part of our lesson tonight, but it's a very important verse. To Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He saith not into seeds as of many, but as of one unto thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ. Ah, yes, this covenant was before the law, long before Moses, this wonderful covenant. So the covenant of grace. Now, who were the parties of the covenant of works? The covenant of works was carried out in the Garden of Eden. But God was a party to the covenant of works, and Adam as representative of all his descendants. But now, in our study tonight, it's the second Adam. The second Adam. We have the second Adam with whom God made the covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, where do you get this idea of a second Adam? From the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. Now the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. And the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Christ is called the second Adam. Why? Because he represents all of the elect in the covenant of grace. He represents all of the elect in the covenant of grace. Now, we're going to look back at that in a moment. But I want to move on a little farther at this point. Now, this matter of the covenant of grace is so important. There are other Bible names for the covenant of grace. We just read one of them in verse 16. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Now, one of the names of the covenant of grace is the promise of God. Let's turn back to Romans chapter 4 for a moment. Romans chapter 4, and you'll see it there. Romans 4 and verse 13. Here it is. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. This promise that he would be the heir of the world was before there was the written down Ten Commandments. And those who thought that by obeying the written down commandments by the works of the law, that they could attain to this eternal life, were terribly mistaken. The promise of God. A promise is a declaration that binds the person who makes it to fulfill it. And I sometimes say when people ask me to do things, well, I'm not going to make a promise today, because I don't want to make a promise that I will not be able to fulfill. In the covenant of grace, God fulfills the whole thing. Who are the parties of the covenant of grace? It is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And God carries out all of the covenant of grace. Now, I didn't really like what we were singing in the fourth verse of that song that we were singing a while ago. His grace has planned it all. 'Tis mine but to believe. Of course we're involved. But it's not something that originated with me that I believe. Why do I believe anyway? Because God gave me the faith to believe. Because my Bible says that all men have not faith. Why do any man then have faith? Because God has given that gift of faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Wow. So, the covenant of grace is all of God. Now think about this. In the covenant of grace, God fulfills both His part of it and ours also. He gives us the faith to rest upon His promise and to rely upon its fulfillment. The covenant of grace is called the promise, but the covenant of grace is also called the gospel. If you're in Romans, just turn back to chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Notice verse 1. Romans 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Now, God preached before this gospel unto Abraham. We're told in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. This gospel that's being talked about here, that was prophesied afore by the holy prophets, this was the gospel that was preached to Abraham. In Galatians 3, 8. And what did God say to him? In thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, this covenant of grace is called the promise. This covenant of grace is also called the gospel. And the covenant of grace is called the oath. If you look in Luke's gospel, chapter 1. Luke's gospel, chapter 1. That's where we were getting close to this morning. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and look at verse 67. Here, Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. That's way back there. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform His mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He sware to our father Abraham, that He would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. Now, do you know of any greater desire that the people of God have ever had than to be able, without fear, in holiness and righteousness, to serve the Lord all the days of our lives? When you have godly people, as Zacharias was, that was his desire. His desire wasn't, all right, let's get out here and see if we can kill all these Romans and take our city back. He just wanted to serve God with peace and without fear all the days of his life. He was faithful. And so he says in that verse 72 and 73, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to Abraham. Now there, the covenant of grace is called the oath. And why an oath? An oath is a guarantee. And here the oath is the guarantee of the covenant of grace. So what is the covenant of grace called? It's called the promise. It's called the gospel. It's called the oath. But it's also called something else. It's called the new covenant. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, we read, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And what does he say that covenant's going to be composed of? He says, I'm going to write my law in their hearts. The covenant of grace is called all these names for very good reasons. It's called the promise because it is of God and it is not of man. And when God says something, you can count on it being carried out and fulfilled. It's called the promise. It's called the gospel. Why is the covenant of grace called the gospel? Because it is fulfilled through the life and through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called the oath because it is permanent and unchangeable. It's called the new covenant because the old covenant was outward. The new covenant is written in the heart by the Spirit. Now, the covenant of grace originated where? In the undeserved grace of God. And you know, even the rewards that God gives us as His people, you think about that. God does give His people rewards. You may not be of the mercenary spirit. I want to do this because I want God to bless me. Well, that's okay. But I want to do this because it's pleasing to God. It's okay to get benefits. I mean, if you will not do what one of my former bosses did, but one of my former bosses used to sit in his office and drink these huge bottles of vodka every day. And it was one of my jobs to carry out the trash. And I kept seeing these gigantic bottles of vodka being emptied, I mean, regularly. I mean, it didn't take long to empty one. And those things are horrible. Okay, so that man, years later, I heard about him lying in intensive care. His liver was gone. Okay. Now, you know there are certain rewards for obedience when you obey the Lord in His Word. You can protect yourself. Now, I've just given you that little instance. But you think about this. All of the rewards of obedience to God in response to His grace are all based on grace. He does not give us what we earn. He always gives us above and beyond what we even think, according to the riches of His grace. So the covenant of grace is all grace. It was made to glorify God's grace. Ephesians 2 and verse 7 tells us why God did what He did in grace. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, when was this covenant made? The covenant of grace was made in eternity past. Before the world, long before the covenant of works. But we didn't hear about the covenant of grace until after the covenant of works, when man had already failed. It was only revealed after man had broken the covenant of works. If you look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, you see when the covenant of grace was ratified, when it was ordained between the Father and the Son. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Now, it tells us there that it was before the foundation of the world. The covenant of grace was enacted between the Father and the Son before the foundation of the world. But when was it revealed? The covenant of grace was not revealed until immediately after the fall. And there's our verse that we had this morning. Genesis 3:15. There God promised that Christ, the seed of the woman, would destroy Satan and his usurped kingdom. Now, this all ties together. In our number 31, with whom was the covenant of grace made? I want to read this one more time. The covenant of grace was made with Christ as the second Adam, and in him with all the elect as his seed. Now, why do we say that Christ represented all of his elect rather than saying that Christ represented the whole world? You ever thought about that? Why do we say that Christ represented his elect rather than saying that Christ represented the whole world? First of all, because Christ's own words contradict such a scheme. Jesus said in John 17, verse 9, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. What did Jesus say again in John's gospel? He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. And it was out of the same Savior's mouth that he spoke about the dividing of the population of the world into two groups. One on the left hand, one on the right hand. The sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left hand. And why did Jesus then, using such images in his speech, say that he only laid down his life for the sheep? All right. Let's understand that when we say that Christ, as the covenant head, as the second Adam, represented only his elect people, it is the very view of Jesus Christ. The second reason, if Christ represented the whole human race in the covenant of grace, then the whole human race must be saved. Now understand that. The Bible, however, teaches something totally different from that. The Bible teaches that only a part of the human race will be saved. If you go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, Jesus is using those images again of the sheep and the goats. And Jesus says to the ones on his right hand, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Of the ones on the left hand, he says, depart from me, you cursed in everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. It's an awful thing, but that's what he says. And in verse 46 of Matthew 25, he says that those on the left hand shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So, we must understand that what Jesus says is truth. And Jesus said that he didn't pray for the whole world, and that he laid down his life for the sheep and not for the goats. But if, like much of the modern evangelical world, you say that Christ represented everybody, then really, he doesn't save anybody. Now think about that for a moment. If, like the majority of the evangelical world, you say that Christ represented everybody in his work, then he really does not save anybody. The typical line is this. They say that he died to give everyone a chance to be saved. Have you ever heard that before? He died in order to give everyone a chance to be saved. So then the real power of salvation is not in Christ and in his work. The real power of salvation is rather in the decision that a man's will makes that gains his salvation. This is the common belief today. But the Bible teaches that Christ suffered and died to really save his elect, and not to give them a chance to be saved, or a chance in order to save themselves by the mastery of their free will. All right. Now this is very interesting. With whom was the covenant of grace made? The covenant of grace was made with Christ as the second Adam. And in him, all the elect as his seed. In the first Adam, all who were in the first Adam die. All who are in the second Adam are made alive spiritually and live forever. What a blessing to be represented in the covenant of grace by the second Adam. I hope you know that. I hope that you trust alone in the second Adam and not that he came down in some general way to do some general work in order to give us a chance and save ourselves. He didn't. He came to really save his people from their sin. Isn't that something? He said he came to save his people. He didn't say, I came to save every person that ever lived. He came to save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. What a Savior.